In a world of rulers, grids, and pixels where creativity knows no bounds, we champion the rebels, the dreamers, and the innovators, the ones who didn't wait for permission but forged their own path in design. I'm Joanna, your fellow self-taught designer and founder of Savvy Chic Design, and this is the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. Dive with us into the story of audacity, grit, and imagination from designers who made it on their own terms. So grab your tools, ignite that spark, and let's dive into the world where every line, curve, and pixel tells a story. Right, Nicole, thank you so much for coming back in our show, and I'm so excited to actually talk about this topic because it's another thing, right, that a lot of business owners should be considering, especially if they are doing a lot of things in their business that they would love to trademark. So for all of you who might have not listened to our special episode regarding contracts, make sure to actually check that one out. Nicole was our special guest during that time. I'm going to put it in the description as well so that you can revert to that conversation because that is very helpful for our self-taught designers out there. Hey, Nicole, welcome back to our podcast.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here today and chat with you about trademarks. One of my favorite topics.
I know, me too. Because, you know, when for some of you, actually, Savvy Chic Design is already registered trademark. So I went through that process and really partnered with Nicole, helped me through it. All I have to do is really just comply and you did all the work. But I'd love for us to start this conversation. And can you explain a little bit more like the basic of trademark law and why it's essential for businesses? And of course, before we also dive into that, if you can give us a little bit about your experience and your qualification as well as processing trademark for small businesses.
Yeah, so I know we went more into my bio in the previous episode, so I won't kind of belabor the long history. But so I kind of started diving into trademark law back in, I want to say it was like around 2018. It was around the same time that I had launched the template shop. And a lot of the questions I was getting from online business owners centered around this idea of when should I get a trademark? And it was kind of one of those, well, that's not really the right question to ask. And so it kind of became my mission to go educate and share the importance of understanding the difference between a brand and a trademark and what a trademark really is and the importance of registration. And that kind of started the whole journey of, well, we're going to start offering those services in the firm. So it's kind of just grown and expounded since then. So I handle federal trademark registration in my law firm, which is really fun because it's federal law. It's different from contract law in that it's applicable in the same way across all 50 states. And any other business from other countries that come to the US and want to have federal registration for their trademark, I can work with. So I have clients in Canada and Australia and the UK. And it's been a really fun adventure because I've also kind of partnered with an IP firm in San Diego out here that focuses really on patents. And I'm managing their corporate clients' trademark portfolios. So I have that very unique experience of taking these, you know, million, billion dollar companies that I work with in the corporate space, taking that experience to my small business clients at a much more affordable cost for them. So I'm going to rewind. And I said, when I mentioned that, when should I get a trademark is the wrong question. Really the question as a business owner is, should I register my trademark? And that's because you have a trademark from the moment that you start using it. And so trademark has become a very buzzword, I think, in the online space and really kind of taking it back to what a trademark is. So a trademark really differentiates your products and services in the marketplace from your competitors. So it comes back to being a word, a phrase like your tagline, a logo. Interestingly enough, it can be sounds and colors. I mean, think Tiffany blue or UPS brown. It can be smells. Interestingly enough, the smell of Play-Doh is a registered trademark. Yeah. So it can run the gamut of things that really let consumers know this is your trademark in the marketplace. And it's different from a brand. And I think as designers, it's important to kind of understand that differentiation because your brand is the overall feeling that your consumers get from interacting with you and your products and your services. It becomes your reputation in the marketplace. And the trademark really is that indicia of your brand in the marketplace. And that's where the legal protection comes into play. So while they're similar and interrelated concepts, they are two very distinct things. And so it's kind of one of those when I hear somebody say, oh, I'm in a trademark. It's like, well, no, you have a trademark. If you've launched a business and you're using a logo or you're using a business name, you have trademark rights. It's just, do you now want to register it and take it the extra step further to have kind of extra protections that come with federal trademark registration?
That is such an amazing point, you know, to kind of consider and also understand, right? Because sometimes we see like Facebook groups or business entrepreneurs can, I need a trademark, I need a trademark. We all have, like me, I had a broad understanding of what trademark is, right? You just register it and all of this kind of things. But when you mentioned like there are different elements and different things that you can trademark as well. So it's really important to go through. Now, I've actually loved one of the process that we actually also went through, right? So if somebody kind of just want to see like, hey, I want to trademark either my brand name or my logo or all of these other assets that I have. There's one step that is very important, which we actually also dived in, which is, I believe it's like the research part. I kind of just want to see also and talk about that part, right? When an entrepreneur or a business owner now kind of decide, I want to trademark X, Y, and Z of my brand name. What is the first set of stages that they need to start off?
Yeah, so a comprehensive search is always recommended because you want to make sure that you're not infringing on another third party's rights. And so really you should be doing that search before you even launch, quite frankly, because you don't want to put all that time, money, and investment into your website and your podcast and social media marketing and ad spend and all the things. I mean, it adds up very quickly if you think about the cost of starting and getting a business off the ground. But you want to make sure, is the name that I'm running with for my business, is the name that I'm running with for my podcast or my blog or, you know, my social media management services, is it already in use out there by a competitor that's doing the exact same or similar thing that I plan to do with it? Because if it is, they probably have senior use rights, which means you could be on the receiving end of a cease and desist letter. So if you kind of skip that step and file, which some people do, you kind of are running the risk of having them send you that cease and desist letter and saying, hey, you need to withdraw your application because that's our trademark and we're going to oppose it if it gets to that point, if it's not already registered, because they do still have some rights, even if it's not registered. And then you have to make that expensive business decision about rebranding. So it's a little bit of an investment on the front end to save a heck of a lot of money on the back end, having to go through that whole rebrand process and negotiations with an attorney on the other side and making sure that, you know, you're not facing a lawsuit.
That is so true. It's so like, you know, when we come up with fancy idea names, because it always starts with a name, right? Oh, what I'm gonna call this, like a podcast, like the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. I have to look into it, like, hey, is this available? Is this like, because I'm gonna invest all through it, right? The content that I'll be working on, the social media platform, the marketing, everything ties into that. And you kind of just want to secure it because that is the thing as well. The cease and desist is something, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, you know, the thing that we're so fearful for, because especially when we are going through that process of investing a lot in our business and we got that one and they're like, okay, all right, what, it's so costly. Because I have seen that one, like small businesses here kind of just usage, and then, you know, kind of just like that is also a good thing about senior use, senior usage, is that what you call it? Now, can I ask you a little bit about that? Is that, for example, does one needs to be registered or in the process of registering that in order for that to apply? Or does it have to be like, for example, just a proof that, hey, for a number of years I've been using it, I haven't yet trademarked it, but seniority, I've used it. Can one receive a cease and desist kind of letter from them? I wonder.
Yeah, so taking it back to a comment I made at the beginning, in that you have some trademark rights from the moment you launch, whether or not you're registered. So there are common law rights, which are dictated by kind of the state that you're in. Common law rights are typically tied to the geographical location that you do business in. Now, where this gets sticky is in the online business space, because a lot of us have clients in other states, in other countries. And so that kind of breadth of your use is a lot different than, say, a brick and mortar donut shop on the corner that probably is only serving donuts in that city and in that space. So, if you have a business that has launched and they have an online presence, they probably have broader senior use rights than just that physical locality. And so, that's something to take into play. Now, they could have registered in their state because you have the option for state registration of your trademark. That only protects you in your state. So if you're, let's say, a brick and mortar donut shop in your city, and you choose, maybe you have a takeout service, maybe you're located, you know, next to a highway, so you have a lot of travelers coming through, you decide to at least register in your state, that prevents other businesses in the state from then registering. That doesn't stop other businesses from registering it federally, because they could arguably use it in the other 49 states. And the examining attorneys at the USPTO don't look at state registrations. The only thing they look at is the applications and the registrations there with the USPTO, the United States Patent and Trademark Office. So when I push online business owners to do federal trademark registration, that's really why. It's the broadest protection for you as a business owner with customers and clients in multiple states and most in multiple international jurisdictions, because it's got that protection at least US wide. And with federal registration, it also simplifies the process of getting registration in other countries if you have a lot of international business. So you do have some protection even on a common law level if you haven't registered to send the cease and desist. And it's common to see people who've had businesses for 20, 30 years using a trademark that just never took the step to register, send a cease and desist, and follow that up with the trademark registration application to kind of have that double whammy.
Wow. And yeah, that's just like, you know, just kind of thinking that one, because sometimes, right, we kind of just go, especially for the brick and mortar, like you've mentioned, just kind of just thinking within the state. But then when somebody, indeed, if you're in I-75 or wherever that is, and people kind of see it, they're like, oh, it's busy. Why don't I also do this one in my state, right? So you kind of want to protect as well. Now, one of the key things that I've also learned when we are doing savvy chic design, right, we have the savvy, the chic and everything, and we had to go through everything, that there's a part, what we call like category, like, you know, like a category, making sure that you fall your registration under that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process? Because we had to really factor in like which we belong to, because there are a lot of it. And that's why having Nicole behind me and beside me during this one was like, oh my gosh, yes, it's the most seamless process. That's why if you are actually thinking of doing a trademark, make sure to check out Nicole to help you out with that one. But going back, tell us a little bit about those categories and all of those things.
Yeah. So if you decided that you want to move forward with an application with the USPTO, one of the things that you have to do is decide what class you're going to actually seek registration in. So there are 45 classes, and a class really is just a grouping of products or services. So classes 1 through 34 are all goods. So if you think like apparel, so hats and t-shirts and things, those would fall in class 25. A downloadable podcast or some sort of downloadable computer software, that would fall in class 9. So it's actually like tangible goods that you're selling. Classes 35 through 45 are services. So trademark and service mark, again, they're actually two different things, but the law handles them very similarly. So for purposes of this discussion, I've just been using trademark, but 35 through 45 are really service marks because they're services. So class 41, especially in the online space, is very popular. That's education and entertainment services. And so that's where kind of like a podcast, if you have it tied to your website, would fall. It doesn't need an app for that. If you're providing graphic design services or website design services, then that would, you know, fall in under services. So it's kind of understanding what services and goods you're providing in your business and then knowing which class to classify them in, because you have to include those on your application when you submit it.
Yeah, because we really had to identify, right, when we were going through mine, like which one is the heaviest within the thing that we are doing. And I really just love that process as well. Now, one of the key challenges, I love this one because we're having this conversation because I myself had experiences with, you know, the filing and all of this classification and making sure we cross all dots and T's and proofed and everything. So that's one thing I want to talk about. So we did the research, right? Looking into the system, whether it's available. Then we went through the process classifying which class we belong to. And the next thing was that the specimen. I love this one. I'm really learning all of these things that we have, right? So we then gather all of the specimens and prove that we can perform this one. Tell us a little bit about that, because there might be businesses who might start like me starting and maybe doesn't have that much of a proof or a specimen that they can submit, and about also those businesses that already has a lot of this, right?
Yeah. So it's important to know that there's two applications that you can submit, two main applications. There's an intent to use application and an in-use application. So an intent to use application is really cool because it really is a legal way to tie up a trademark with the USPTO. So you're telling the USPTO, I'm not using this mark in commerce yet. So I'm not making sales to clients as a graphic designer yet, but I intend to. And so you submit an application. And at that point, you don't have to include a specimen with your application. With an in-use application, you're telling the USPTO, I'm actually using this mark in commerce. I have clients that have purchased from my business using that trademark. And you have to include a specimen showing that. So it could be a screenshot of a web page where your clients can go book a call with you to discuss retaining you. If you sell a digital product, it could be a screenshot of your, you know, digital marketplace, a podcast, it could be a screenshot of that, you know, Apple iTunes. So you have to show you're actually using the mark with those in-use applications. And so there are kind of things you have to think about in terms of, well, maybe I'm doing these services, but I'm not yet with these ones. Do I want to maybe submit two applications, one in-use, one intent to use? Do I want to tie them together to kind of simplify and just know I can't go forward with registration until everything's in use? So there is some strategy that goes into how you submit the applications, what types of specimens, knowing the right dates to include, because you do have to include that date of first use. When did you start using the trademark? You know, when were you telling your clients about, hey, I'm launching this really cool new service and this is what I'm naming it. And when did you actually make a sale? That's your date of first use in commerce. So there are some intricacies. And I know that a lot of people will kind of look for these online services and they think, oh, it's just filling out an application. And there are a lot of amazing resources with the USPTO. They have a lot of training videos, a lot of in-depth blogs. Mm-hmm. You can do it yourself. And that's something I always tell clients that, you know, you don't have to hire an attorney, but I recommend you hire an attorney because we kind of know the ins and outs of the process. We've worked with the examining attorneys before. We know how to kind of include the description of your goods and services to make sure that it's going to make it through, make sure we're pulling the right specimens, we're including the right dates. So it's, again, it ties back to your comment about dotting your I's and crossing your T's and making sure that your application has the best chance to make it through to registration, because not all applications are going to register.
Yeah, it really does take time. And for us, I think we had, I think close to a year for Savvy Chic Design. That's one thing. And this is also a thing that I had to go back and said, when was the first time? Because we had our trademark is for the logo, right? For the name, if I'm correct. And then the logo. And then we had kind of, not a hurdle, but somehow of like, not like we got the, like a comment back, especially mm-hmm. with the Savvy and the Chic with different and also like alignment. So just a little bit for, so that a lot of our fellow self-taught designer or business owners who are interested in doing this. So what we had is that the Savvy Chic originally in our logo was a two word. It was like stacked, right? So Savvy and then Chic. And I don't know what the word, because it's such a common word, right? The Savvy and the Chic has always been there, right? But then we had to place it in one word, Savvy Chic. And then we change that one. I change everything. So tell us a little bit about what happened with that Savvy Chic, because I was so quick. All right, like, because we had that one and said, Nicole, hold on, let me do this one. And then submit to you all of the assets and the specimens that I can prove that we can do Savvy Chic in one word.
Yeah. So when you submit an application, it does take, right now at the USPTO, is it taking about like 10 to 11 months just to even get assigned to an examining attorney to review the application. And they review it to make sure that everything is kind of in place and it meets the requirements. And one of the things that they're cracking down on is making sure that the specimen matches what you applied for. So you guys, in a lot of your social media posts and everything, you really wanted to run with Savvy Chic being one word. And that's how you were using it. That was the name of your business, which, interesting to note, side note, the name of your business and your trademark could be the same thing, but they could be different. So your LLC name is your trade name. It's the name that you operate business under. It's the name that you sign your contracts under. You could use that as your trademark, but it's not always the same. Some people have a trade name and they have a different trademark. So just kind of interesting side note. So that was one thing I had to come back and say, okay, just the words are stacked and they're viewing them as not compound. We need to make them compound. So it was that, do you want to run with it? Do we want to submit a new application with it being two words? And it was, no, we're going to run with it compound. So those kind of types of nuances are something to explore with your attorney, make sure they're handling the response to the office action in a timely manner, because you have 3 months to respond, and knowing how to respond and how to speak with the examining attorney to kind of push that through and get to registration is one of the benefits of having an attorney in your corner.
It is indeed a benefit because, you know, you at times forward the information coming from the office and I read through it and I said like, okay, I like there are just things, right? I don't understand it because it's not my expertise. I know I can Google it. I know I can figure it out, right? But being able to have a game plan, should we do a compound or stacking? Should we do other specimen to submit and move forward? It was really, really helpful as well. And it's so nice to actually have something that is trademark and kind of aligned because like for us, right, a lot of our listeners are going to be brand designers who are really so stick with the branding guidelines and brand elements. And now I really tell my team that needs to be one word. Savvy Chic needs to be one word, you know, all of these things, one word. When I see like, why is this two words, right? Now it gets into that because a better understanding and making sure that everything is aligned on what the investment is going on with the business. So it's really important as well. Now, I know that you did say a little while ago, like businesses, logos, all of these other elements that can be trademarked. Do you recommend businesses to like have multiple that have you seen like multiple really trademarks under their brands? Is that usually like what we see or a lot of other businesses are doing right now?
Yeah, so I see, especially in the online space, people really start with like one solid trademark to begin.
Yes.
Typically, it's kind of either their umbrella business name that they're operating all of their services and all their goods under, or it's like a signature product or service that they're selling and that's making most of the money. They typically register it first as a word mark. So there's the option to register as a word mark and the option to register as a design mark. A word mark really is protection for the words. So it's the words themselves. You can use it in any font, in any size, in any color, in any, you know, interpretation in a graphic, because you have the protection for the words. A design mark, so if you've got a logo and you love the design, you are registering that design mark in that specific design. You can do it in black and white so that you can do it in any color, but you can't move things. So there'll be graphics and words, and they've got to be in that same kind of formation every time you use it. And so that's why typically they prioritize the word mark first, that most important word mark. Sometimes once they know for a fact they're going to stick with their logo and it's not something they're going to be moving around, which I think a lot of online business owners tinker with their logos for the first couple of years of business. So that's another reason they kind of put that one off until they settle on something they really love. Then they may register the logo and then sometimes other names for products and services that are kind of signature that they're going to stick with. So
That's a good point. Now, I got a question though, because sometimes, right, when we do a design logo, we have a primary logo and then we have a secondary logo and then we have a favicon. Can that be as a family or is it really just the primary? And then we set another application for a secondary. And but all of this, right? Because sometimes we can break down just the icon or just the word and the icon, you know, all of these things. How does that process? Does it have to be a separate application for trademark?
Yeah. So the example I like to give is sometimes people will do like a horizontal logo and then a vertical.
Yep.
So there'll be like the graphic on the top and the words and then the graphic on the side and the words, because it depends on where they're using it on their website or as like a podcast cover. Technically, that would be two separate applications, one for the horizontal and one for the vertical, because you can't move the elements around, which is why that word protection, that word mark protection is so key, because you can do it however you want to use it in any iteration. And it's kind of why people tend to kind of put off the logo mark registration unless they have something that they know, like, this is how we're going to use it every single time. You know, if you look at big brands like Target or Apple, they have a suite of trademark registrations because they have such a multitude of products and services, and then they have very discrete logos tied to specific, you know, product lines. And so it's one of those things where I say start small as an online business owner, build, you know, one to two really solid registrations. And as the business grows and expands, that's when you can look to add on additional
spending as well. Yeah, because it can be, you know, costly for multiple variation of a logo or everything. But yeah, just that word mark and making sure the fundamental core, like a foundation, right, of your brand is one thing that you would like to prioritize. Now, a while ago, you kind of just go through it as you're working with a corporate client about what can I just ask you a bit, like, what are the difference? Because I do hear like registered, you know, the registered, you have trademark, you have copyright, you have patents, all of these things, like, and I believe there are in different elements, like different criteria, right? Can you tell us a little bit about, so that somehow we understand like which one to go to and make sure everything is correct?
Yeah. So So copyrights, trademarks, patents really fall under the umbrella of intellectual property. So they really are kind of creations of the mind that you're really locking down to protect. And they really are one of your most valuable assets, especially as an online business owner. The things that you're creating and you're sharing, all the content, everything, you want to kind of think in terms of, okay, where would this fall as you're creating? So we talked about trademark protection and how that really protects your brand, right? It's the signpost in the marketplace in terms of these are my products and services and they tie to my business. Copyrights, on the other hand, are really your ideas that are expressed in some artistic way. So you can't protect the idea, but once they're actually physically expressed, some original work of authorship, be it a blog post that you draft, a photograph that you take, your podcast recording, those types of things, those are copyrights. Similar to trademarks, with a copyright, you have protections from the moment that you express it. So the moment that you draft the blog post, the moment that you record the podcast, once it comes into that physical medium of expression, you have copyright rights. Again, similar to trademarks, you can then register them for some extra protection. It gives you extra teeth with both trademarks and copyrights. Once you have registration, you have the benefit of what's called statutory damages and statutory attorney's fees, meaning they are paid by law. So if you have to take somebody to court for either trademark infringement or copyright infringement, and you have the registration, they have to pay you your damages and your fees because it's required. So that's kind of where it's like the trademark or the copyright with teeth, right? You have the extra protection.
Now,
patents. Oh,
yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. Patents, on the other hand, protect inventions. So it really is a very nuanced, brand new form of technology that you're bringing or some other type of invention to the world. And it protects that kind of configuration from everyone else using that configuration for a certain amount of time. So kind of when you're thinking about your business, as I'm drafting a blog post, you know, maybe my blog name could be protected by trademark registration if I'm going to run with that blog name. The blog posts itself are protected by copyright. And maybe you come up with some new software as a service type configuration to handle the blog posting for you, and it's not something that's been created before. Maybe you would look into the patent protection for the software.
Wow, that is really a just false enter, right? The different times of like, yes, it does make sense, right? Because of the name, the content, the delivery, and everything that you want to put out. So it's really a better understanding and to be guided by somebody like an attorney or a lawyer experting on trademark patents or all of these things can really help clear more about this because there's a lot of things that can go through. Now, I know we've shared a little bit like some of the things, right? Like the challenges that can happen when you go through this type of process. But are there any other things that you kind of want to remind, especially those who might be doing it DIY because they want to go into kind of just understanding it? Like what are some things that they need to be mindful of? I know we talked about specimens, the usage, and all of these things. Are there other elements or other things that they need to be mindful to make sure that everything will also be seamless, right? If they have to do their own trademark.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that it's not kind of a one and done process. So yes, you could submit the application and watch the training videos and get everything through to registration. You also have to keep in mind it's an ongoing responsibility as the owner of a trademark registration. So between years 5 and 6, after you reach registration, you have a renewal filing, and there's payment required with that to the USPTO. Mm-hmm. Between years 9 and 10, you have another one, and again, payments required. And then every 10 years after that, you have to continue to make sure that you're filing your maintenance paperwork and you're paying your fees to keep that registration valid. What's really cool about trademark registration is that it can potentially last indefinitely. There is no timeline. Copyrights have a timeline. Patents have a timeline in terms of when they're valid and how long they stay valid for. Mm-hmm. Not with trademarks. As long as you're staying on top of your filing and paying your fees.
Yes.
That's why we see some of these huge businesses that have lasted time and grown and expanded have these massive trademark portfolios because they've had registrations from, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s that are still around and they're still, you know, keeping up to date. And with that, you have to make sure you're using your trademark as you registered it. So if it's two words in your registration, you got to use it in two words. You can't add a hyphen in the middle and an exclamation point at the end, because once you have to go submit that updated specimen with these renewal filings, they're going to come back and say, this doesn't match the registration. So making sure that you're speaking with your marketing department or your branding department and making sure they're using the mark as intended, it is one of the key things to make sure that you can keep those maintenance filings up to date.
That is so funny that you've actually mentioned that, because, like, for example, the Self-Taught Designer podcast, right? Of course, self-taught is actually hyphenated, right? That's really it. But then sometimes I do it like self, and then the next space is thought, and then all of this. And then this is one thing that I am also planning intent to use. Well, I'm using it already to filing it already, like for registration, right? Because we're investing a lot of time. So like, that is a good reminder, because sometimes I get even confused. Should I hyphen it because it's really like hyphenated, or should I do this because it's more artistically nicer when it's laid out, right? So it's really, really important. Now, one of the key things that part of our conversation is the word cease and desist. Disease, right? And this is one of the most scary things that when we don't know, we kind of just get an email. And I remember that one time, I think it's not what, but it was like a legal stuff email. And then I had to, Nicole, can you double check on this, please? Because I think we need a boo-boo. I don't want to infringe anything or copyright, right? So that is the worst, because it can implicate costs, right? You need to pay for whatever that is. Now, what is the first thing that maybe a business owner, I know that this is just for educational purposes and no legal advice. We always, you know, when it comes to that, with the disclaimer of Nicole, if you want to emphasize on that one too. But what are some of the key things that entrepreneurs or business owners, especially creatives as well, to be mindful if ever they get anything from a registered trademark of a company that they come across with?
Yeah. So I think one of the first things to know is you can't just ignore it. You really do want to set up a time to talk with an attorney just to make sure, like, is this legit? Do I need to respond? Because if you ignore it, that, and you continue, let's say you're using a trademark that they are alleging that you're infringing on, and you continue to use it and you ignore the cease and desist letter. And most of the time, like when I send cease and desist letters, I send them for them to be signed for, because I want to show they've received the letter. They get a courtesy copy via email, but they get that next day delivery that they have to sign for to show they know they've got a cease and desist letter they have to deal with. Because if you end up getting taken to court for trademark infringement, that actually increases the damages that they could obtain, because it's willful infringement at that point, because they've notified you, hey, I have this trademark registration, you are infringing on it, you need to cease and desist. You continue using it because you stuck your head in the sand. Now you're looking at three times treble damages. They could try and come after the profits that you've made. Let's say you have a really big launch. It's very successful. They may come after you and say, we want all the profits you made by building off of our goodwill and that trademark. That's our registered protected IP. So first things first, just don't stick your head in the sand. Get in with an attorney as soon as you can to kind of run through your options and how to respond.
Yeah, that is the best way. Because when I had just that one, I forgot, but I know I've sent something just to have that kind of advice, right? To make sure that we are educated enough to take action and communicate right away. Because that's also one thing I've noticed, like in the community, right? Some people kind of just get their opinion on a more, you know, as a bigger group, right? That somebody might have infringed their content and not replying. And it's really just nice for you just to reply, right? And then it might just be an honest, right? Because there's a lot of things going on online, right? Like it can be like left and right and all of these things. But research and really being able to make sure that you, as I always say, cover your ass in building your empire, as we would love to have that one, right? So that's why to also check out the contract podcast that we have with Nicole, so that you can go through that, the contract, and then empower your business. And also through here with the trademark that Nicole can also do, because it's very important. I believe that it's very important, especially with all the programs that we have and all of these things, right? And then like what you have advised like early on, kind of just know how to navigate it and now how to process this. Now, I know like for some of those who want to do it DIY, they can just go online, right? That like the resource. And I know you've mentioned that there are training videos, there are all of these things that they can go online.
Yeah. So the USPTO has a plethora of training opportunities, from videos on the website to, I know that they actually host, I think it's quarterly now, like how to submit a trademark application type trainings. And you can sit there and they'll walk you through what it looks like. But again, like on the back end, yes, it's great to get the registration. And yes, it is an amazing, I needed investment, especially as online business owners, we're building a brand. And so having that kind of the extra teeth, if you have somebody infringing your brand, you also have to know on the back end though, that you have to be comfortable with protecting the registration. So at some point you're going to need to talk to an attorney, because I don't think you're going to want to be doing the full monitoring yourself and sending the cease and desist letters yourself. Just most business owners, you're not lawyers. You don't know what you could include in some of these communications that could hurt your case, that could make things worse, that, you know, so it's like having that person to kind of do that gut check with, okay, I saw this mark pop up. You know, maybe you've set up a Google alert, which is something I always tell business owners to do. If you have a trademark, go set up a Google alert so that you're alerted if somebody else is using it. So you can see, are they using it in a similar way so that I need to be sending a cease and desist letter? And if you have registration, working with an attorney to be monitoring the USPTO for you to see if there's any new filings that you may want to oppose. If somebody comes with something that's really similar to you, you know, examining attorneys at the USPTO are human too. So sometimes they let similar things register, and it's your onus as the registered owner to then file opposition proceedings to say, no, this shouldn't be registered because I have this registration for very similar services or goods. And you kind of have to take those extra steps. So yes, you can DIY, but at some point you're going to need to have that conversation with an attorney and have an attorney in your corner to kind of really make sure that you're protecting your brand.
That is so true. I totally agree with that. I've always mentioned there's two things that you need in your business kind of helping you out, a CPA and a lawyer, because when things kind of like they are the best, like they have that information, right? As easy as like, hey, can you just check into this? And it's the best investment that you can make also in your business, especially if you are really looking for the long term, like, you know, long-term of your business processes and everything that you have. Now, Nicole, I know that this is one service that you offer. How can they somehow start off with working with you? Because I know I went through the process of initial conversation and we did a research and then we did the full-on trademark application. Tell us a little bit about your process.
Yeah. So first things first, I have my own private podcast. It's called Uncomplicating Trademarks. So if you want to kind of listen, tune in, and kind of hear, I share about trademark topics that are relevant to online business owners. So everything from what working with my law firm looks like to common trends that I'm seeing with potential office actions from the USPTO and everything down to kind of defining certain terms that you may come across. So that's been really fun. I'm going on a year in December.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been fun. But if you know, like, okay, I'm ready, I need to take this up to get registered, I have a form on my website. You just submit it, let me know what the trademark is and kind of what goods or services you're providing. I run a conflict check because obviously I have to make sure that I haven't worked with clients that could potentially have a conflict. And then we can get a call on calendar to kind of run knockout searches, talk about your goods and services and how, you know, where we would register and what that looks like and make sure you've got specimens, or are we doing an intent to use? It really is kind of a 30-minute deep dive strategy session into what trademark registration could look like for your business and how we can make sure that you're getting the most out of the investment if you decide to move forward.
Yes. And it's really simple, you know, to have the conversation and really just being able to have you in the back end or as well as beside me helping that or anyone who would be interested is a very simple. So we are going to drop all the links of Nicole so that you can schedule a call, check out whether this is the right fit for you because you are already here in the stage of your business that you want to trademark or copyright or whatever it is that you would love to do. It's really just very helpful as well. I know this conversation is really, you know, impactful. Empowering. It's really more in empowering you to protect your business as well. And it's so funny because I know I'm going to be contacting you soon as well, because I have this upcoming project that I'm kind of see if I'm going to trademark it or if I'm going to do, you know, all the next step as another add-on for Savvy Chic Design. Is there anything that you would love to share more? Anything that you might want to offer to our clients or anything, or not clients, but our listeners who are so into the clients, right? Regarding trademark besides scheduling a call.
Yeah, I would just welcome them to subscribe to the podcast, because honestly, it really does kind of keep you abreast of changes with the USPTO. And, you know, I hate to say that as a business owner, you kind of have to keep your fingers on things legal, but you do. Yes, you can work with an attorney and they'll give you kind of that deep dive handholding experience. And I think that's very important, but you do kind of have to stay on top of things and be aware of. And so I really try and make it conversational. You know, they're 15 minutes or less. And honestly, they hover around 5 minutes because I think that taking it in kind of small snippets is best for most business owners. They're on the go. So yeah, I would welcome them to join the Uncomplicating Trademarks listening experience.
Yes, awesome. So we are also going to drop the podcast link to our show note as well in the description down below so that you can empower yourself more. And by that time, you can start working with Nicole and really making sure that everything, you've crossed all the dots and the T's and everything that you would love to do to protect your business. Nicole, it's always just amazing to have a conversation with you about this. And I just, you know, the passion that you have for helping entrepreneurs do all of this processing, just make their life more easier.
Thank you again for having me. I'm so excited that I was able to come on twice. It's been so fun to see you.
Yes, yes, so cool. Well, so make sure to all of you who are listening, make sure to actually subscribe. Please do give us a thumbs up or a review. We will appreciate that one. And make sure to download this episode. Have a wonderful day. And there we have it, another episode diving deep into the world of self-taught designer. We truly hope these stories and insight continue to inspire and fuel your creative journey. Remember, every professional was once an amateur and every expert began as a beginner. A big thanks to our guests, sponsors, and especially you, our listener. Your support makes every episode a new adventure. If you find value in today's discussion, consider sharing this podcast with a friend, subscribe, or leave us a review. Your feedback that only help us grow, but also reach out more self-taught designers out there. So stay curious, keep pushing those boundaries, and always trust in your unique design journey. I'm Joanna, and this has been the Self-Taught Designer Podcast. See you next time.